You speak to Keisha, she'll get you a speaker card.
Good morning. Thank you for your patience. Quite a bit of traffic on the 110 freeway this morning. Welcome to Harbor, well, it's not Harbor City, it's Torrance, but the Harbor Gateway. I know. As a person who grew up in Carson, it's good to be home. Welcome to the meeting of the Board of Recreation and Parks Commission. Today is March 20th, 2025. This board meeting will be conducted in person or is being conducted in person. All public comments will be taken in person only, and each speaker will be granted a maximum of 2 minutes. Our first order of business is call for the roll. Takesha, could you please call for the roll?
Will do, Madam President. President Cimero.
Present.
Vice President Sanchez.
Present.
Commissioner Tran.
Present.
Commissioner Lloyd.
Present.
And we have quorum, Madam President.
Thank you. Our next order of business is approval of the minutes from the March 6, 2025 meeting. May I have a motion?
So moved.
May I have a second?
Again.
Takesha, we have a motion and a second. Can you call the vote, please?
Will do, Madam President. We have a motion and a second to approve the regular minutes from March 6, 2025. Vice President Sanchez, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Tran, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Lloyd, how do you vote?
Aye.
President Cimero, how do you vote?
Aye.
And the motion carries.
Thank you. With that, we'll move on to the general manager's updates, and we have a special general manager's update, Brenda.
Good morning, President Cimero, commissioners, staff, and members of the public. Brenda Aguirre, Assistant General Manager, filling in for Jimmy Kim, who is traveling. We'll start out this morning with an introduction of the staff by Deanne Dedman, Superintendent of the Pacific Region.
Good morning, commissioners, executive staff, members of the public, and my colleagues. Again, my name is Deanne Dedman, and I'm the Pacific Region Superintendent. Welcome to Normandale Recreation Center. This quaint little center houses a gymnasium with a large community room that you might have walked through. There is a smaller classroom tucked away as well. Outside, we have some brand new amenities. We have a playground structure, a skate park at the far end of the park. We have some new open space and a fitness area. And we will be dedicating our brand new ball fields next week, Saturday. We missed you guys doing it by a week. But today, instead of bragging about all the fabulous programs, which I guess I'm doing, right? That this location, from seniors to preschool to after school to tons and tons of sports, all thanks to the fabulous Normandale Recreation Center staff. Abel, are you here? Our senior director, Abel, and our recreation coordinator, Lina Lopez. Probably hiding, my staff are a little shy. What I wanted to do today, just take this my moment to introduce you to some of our region's most valuable players. It's something different. So from our maintenance division, Sonia, can you join me, please?
Come on down. You're
Sonia's
the next
from our maintenance division, of course, led by the fabulous Raul Leon, Jose Monji, Bernabeu Ramirez, and Todd Wales. But this is Sonia. Is she coming? Because I didn't tell her she was going to have to come up here. But this is Sonia. She is our lead senior gardener in the Banning District of our region. And she is providing clean and safe spaces throughout the district, motivating and supporting her staff every day. Thank you, Sonia, for being here this morning. All right. And Juan Rivera, he's going to kill me later. Juan, where are you? There you are. Juan is from our construction division, led by Mr. Kevin Reagan and Jason Winters, which are both here. We never get our construction guys here, but we got them here today. Thank you, Jason. Mr. Rivera is our region carpenter. Our region carpenter?
Just one?
Always stepping in to get projects done and stepping up to all the challenges that we as recreation provide to him. So thank you, Juan, so much for all of your hard work.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And of course, our recreation branch, I'm just going to have them stand because they're not as shy as those two people. But I would like you to meet all of my five, well, you're only going to meet three, but five of my emergency appointed and acting recreation supervisors, meaning I only have emergency appointed and acting recreation supervisors. But assist every day, me and my principal recreation supervisors, Mike Harrison and Elaine Paya. Where are you two? Thank you two so very much. But my recreation supervisors acting, Ms. Cheryl Gray is off today. I'm actually taking a nice little vacation. But I do have Mr. Javier Soto, Ms. Jessica Famoso. Where are you people? Stand up. Thank you. Thank you. And Mr. Carl Stevens. Thank you, Carl. All right. And my fifth one, Ramon Bernal. He is actually up north at CPRS. He is one of our the conference speakers, so he's not here today. But again, welcome to the Pacific region. Thank you.
You might not have any Porto's Bakeries, but you had a great presentation. Thank you. Brenda?
Thank you, Dan. So moving on to highlights from the department, I encourage the public to visit laparks.org under special events to find some of the exciting events that we have planned for you. Over the past 7 months, the LA City United Football Club participated in the Southern California Soccer League State Cup. We'd like to recognize three of the teams that had victories this past weekend. The 2014 Black Team, they're champions of the Classic Cup level. The 2012 Team, they're champions of the Classic Cup level as well. And the 2011 White Team are champions of the Elite Cup level, and we plan to have them recognized at a future commission meeting when they're out of school. We will move on to Emergency Management Division. They've been very busy, as you all know, for the beginning of 2025. They've had three activations this month, primarily supporting the rainstorms very recently, where we did have one evacuation center open at Stoner Recreation Center. And most recently for the LA Marathon, which is a planned activation that thankfully had no incidents. So we will move on. There have been some commission, various communications from constituents, and we've assigned appropriate staff to go ahead and respond to those. And this morning, as requested, we do have a presentation for just an overview of the Citywide Aquatics Division. So I'd like to call up Superintendent Gary Singer. And he does have a PowerPoint presentation, which you should also have a copy of. Mr. Singer.
Check, check. Okay. Good morning, Board, President, and Brenda, everybody else here and everybody listening. Gary Singer, Superintendent of Aquatics and Emergency Management, honored here to present about our Citywide Aquatics Division and to tell you a little bit more about it. I know that we have a lot of presentations today, so I'll try to make this quick, but there's a lot to talk about. So go to the next slide. The mission of Citywide Aquatics is to provide a safe, clean, well-programmed aquatic facilities for the use and enjoyment of the residents of the greater Los Angeles area. We do that by providing well-trained staff and by educating the public in water safety. We have a very proud safety record in Citywide Aquatics. We do our best to make sure that we prevent accidents, and when emergencies do occur that are unpreventable, we are well-trained and move into action quickly. Next slide. So here's an overview, top level, of our organizational structure. Just emphasizing that we are citywide, not organized under regions, but we also work well with other divisions within the department. Our planning, maintenance, and construction branch, well, they help to keep our pool chemicals well balanced and repair any issues that we have in our swimming pools and open water facilities. RSB, we are often co-located with recreation centers, so we have a very close relationship with them. And our finance division, we have a very robust logistics section that keeps our pools keeps our pools equipped with supplies, and our finance division helps us to do that. Next slide, a little deeper dive into our organizational structure. So we have aquatic facility managers. There's three pay grades for that, 3, 2, and 1. And then we have our open water lifeguards. We call them OWLs. And then we have our regular lifeguards and seasonal pool managers. We have underneath them a series of different job classifications, including pool clerks, locker attendants, lifeguards, lifeguard aides. So it's a very robust organization that keeps the pools running. Next slide. So at a glance, we have 30 seasonal pools. These are the ones that are open in the summer. 24 are outdoors, and we have 24 are open. 6 are currently closed. The great thing about the City of Aquatics, our pools is that each one of them is unique. They aren't cookie cutter pools. They all have their own unique personality, the community that attends them. There are different strengths of programs that the community likes to participate in. So it's each pool also has their own mascot. So we are right now having a March Madness mascot playoff on social media. So all the community can vote for their favorite mascot of their local pool. Encourage all to do that. We have 24 year-round pools. 9 of them are indoor, 15 outdoor. We have 3 open water facilities. I'll go into a little bit more about that. 3 camp pools, and you could see the staff numbers down there at the bottom.
Gary, if I can ask a question.
Go ahead.
What's the reason that the 8 pools are closed?
Generally, just pool maintenance, construction projects, things like that. I think that's generally it.
Are we expecting them to be all fully open, or are there capital projects that are delaying the opening of those pools?
It's a little mix.
Yeah, it's a mix of all of them. So some do need some repairs, and some pools don't have funding to be replaced as of yet.
Could you maybe, not today, but maybe you do a follow-up to the commission in terms of the 8 pools that are closed, what the status is, and what is the funding required? We don't have to do it today. Thank you.
Will do. All right. Next slide, please. This next slide talks about some of our preventative measures, some of the rescues or near rescues that we've had to do, as well as our total attendance. So each year, our aquatic facilities attract nearly 1 million residents or nearly 1 million patrons. Next slide. Talk a little bit about our open water facilities. So we have Cabrillo Beach, Hanson Dam, and Lake Balboa all have life-saving staff there. You could see that we've had, this is for fiscal year 23-24, close to 12,000 life-saving preventative actions and only 6 rescues. So you could see that prevention is a major component of keeping the public safe. We've had 101 boat assists and 13 boat rescues. And like our swimming pools, we've had nearly 1 million total attendance for our open water facilities. Next slide. So our training program, I talked a lot about our training program and how we emphasize safety within the department. If you go to the next slide, we do have lifeguard academies, and there are very rigid requirements to enter the lifeguard academies. For open water, they must be able to swim 1,000 yards freestyle in open water in under 19 minutes and 59 seconds. And have a California driver's license. And then each year we do have the Open Water Academy. Next slide. And then we have our Lifeguard Academy. We actually have one starting this weekend. If you are interested in taking a look, I'd be happy to organize that for you. Just let me know. But to get into that Lifeguard Academy, you have to tow a 28-pound dummy 70 feet, go in underwater, pick it up, retrieve it, and bring it back to the wall in under 1 minute and 18 seconds. A 200-yard lifeguard medley, which is a number of different strokes that a lifeguard would have to do. And then once they pass that test and are able to do it, then they are able to join the academy. It's a 10-day academy. Go to the next slide. So they go a series of 5 weekends, 100 hours of training, and they learn everything that they need to know to become a lifeguard. We have a very unique and rigid lifeguard academy that is unique to the city of LA. And once they're done, they have that city of LA lifeguard training certificate.
And I do want to add that here at the city of LA, we recertify all of our life-saving staff annually. There are some agencies that practice doing a biannual training, but we feel it's important just to do it annually and keep it fresh in everyone's mind.
Yeah, training and recertification and retraining is highly emphasized within this division. So talked about a lot of the serious stuff that keeps the residents and community members safe. So let's talk about some of the fun stuff. I had planned to show you not tell you about the fun stuff, but show you. So if you are able to sneak a peek at the television screen as we go about it, I highly encourage you to do that. And if you don't, follow us on social media. We have a very, very fun social media presence, and encourage everybody to take a look. So let's go to our Play LA Aquatics. We start the aquatic pipeline at 6 months of age. So at 6 months, you can have parent and child swim lessons that get the child acclimated to the water and comfortable in the water. And from there, they progress through the pipeline all the way up to where you become a lifeguard, hopefully in the future. Next slide. So similar to recreation, we have a number of pre-qualified and non-pre-qualified sites. And swim lessons. So let's see if we can show you and not tell you about it. Oh, there we go. So our mission is to provide water safety to Angelenos through our Learn to Swim program citywide. So we are partnered with the American Red Cross to provide swim lessons. They provide the curriculum, and our instructors are certified to do so. We're happy to work once again with the American Red Cross on that. So they start off, like I said, with those parent and child swim lessons, and then they progress on to develop their strokes. Next slide shows our attendance for swim lessons over the years. Starting in 2018, we had over 36,000. COVID hurt our swim lessons, obviously, and now we're working to get back to our pre-COVID numbers. Next slide talks about gender equity and shows the ratio for our swim lessons. Very proud of our gender equity numbers here. So this is our swim team. So our swim team, they learn the fundamentals of competitive swimming. They learn all four competitive swim strokes. That's butterfly, backstroke, breaststroke, and freestyle. They are competing in regional and local tournaments. And soon, once we start getting onboarded with USA Swimming, the national swimming program, then we'll be able to compete in some of those more competitive swim meets.
Oh, I have one question.
Yep.
For the, we saw the numbers, like COVID, of course, the pools all closed, and then the numbers slowly grew through 23, but then there was a drop once again in 24. Do we know reason? Was there more pools closed that year or?
It's a combination of things. So we have had some struggles with recruiting life-saving staff. Some of it was pay issues. And then obviously some budget constraints have also impacted programs, but we try to prioritize our swim lessons.
So you're saying the decline is because, not because of people reaching out for swim lessons, but because we couldn't accommodate a larger number.
Correct. So some of the budget constraints that we had last year, we had to reduce the number of lessons that we were offering on an hourly basis. But we tried to make sure that every facility still maintained a good number so that we can still offer lessons, especially in underserved communities.
Thank you, Brenda. The next is our springboard dive team.
One more question.
Go ahead.
In 2024, when we saw a decrease in lessons, did we see an increase in incidences at our pools?
I don't think we have those numbers with us today, but we can certainly look back and let you know, Commissioner.
Thank you.
So the springboard dive team, exactly what it sounds like. We have a diving program teaching the fundamentals of diving. Next is our water polo team. Our water polo team just recently got registered with USA Water Polo. And we also hired a director of coaching for water polo, similar to the soccer program, that is going to lead our USA water polo program back to a national competitive level. So they learn the fundamentals of water polo, and our new director of coaching is going to help us help coach our coaches and bring us back to that that national prominence that we once had back in the early 2000s. The city of LA's water polo program ranked in the top two or three in the country in water polo at our 12 and under division. So we want to get back to that level. There's a wealth of talent in all of our aquatic sports here in the city of LA, and we want to get back and show that for our young athletes, provide them an opportunity to play competitively, and that opens up doors for entry into college, scholarships, and it also teaches those life lessons that you can't get anywhere else. Artistic swimming. Some of you may know it. It used to be called synchronized swimming. Now it's artistic swimming. But they learn sculling, choreography, dance, and artistry. We actually have a good partnership with USA, the USA national team. They are practicing at one of our facilities, and they come out and work with our artistic swimming program to provide that inspiration. Next slide. Small craft program. So we have kayaking, paddleboarding. Our young participants learn paddling, turning maneuvers, safety tips. Our next is learn to surf. They learn to surf in a safe beach environment, and if the beach is not available, then or because of certain conditions, they can learn certain techniques inside of our swimming pools. Our parasurf program. We have certified parasurf instructors, and we have a partnership with the Challenge Athlete Foundation. They learn to surf in a safe beach environment, and they learn paddling, pop-ups, stance, and turns. It's a great great opportunity for those that have challenges that they can learn to surf. So we have our pool junior lifeguard program. That's one of the other steps within our pipeline. So after swim lessons and they come into our programs, they can do the junior life program at either the open water level or to our pool junior lifeguard program. In those, they learn first aid, hands-only CPR, snorkeling, boating. They go on fun trips. And then we have competitions within the different programs.
And one other thing to add in terms of the parasurf, we also offer adaptive swim at all of our locations. We've been doing that program for years.
Thank you. Let's move on to the Camp Splash. So Camp Splash, that gives the fundamentals of aquatic safety in and around the water. They also go on fun field trips. This is for our younger participants that don't quite meet the age requirements for our junior lifeguard program. We have cultural events at different facilities around the city. They support and celebrate cultural programming, offer numerous benefits that enhance community engagement, promote inclusivity, and foster healthier lifestyles. At these cultural events, we also take that opportunity to recruit. We have swim lessons at those. We build community. The next slide is very similar to that. We do have pool parties that offer a lot of the same different programs. That we try to offer those in each of the council district areas. We throw out the toys and allow the community to come together in a fun environment that's also safe. And you can see on the next slide our numbers, several hundred in each of the council districts shown here. And with that, I'll open it up for any questions.
Any questions for Gary?
Can you remind me what's the starting wage for a lifeguard?
21.
I think it's 2176 or 2123. We'll have to double check. We just recently switched over, but we can look up that number for you.
Thank you.
$21.91. Thank you.
All right,
but there is another raise, I think, coming up pretty soon.
Anything else? Well, great. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Thanks for all your work and success in the program.
Thank you, Gary. Next up, we'll have Leslie Richter and Carlos Luna join us, and they're going to give a brief presentation on Community School Parks Program.
I'm a little bit shorter than Gary. Good morning, President Cimarron, commissioners, executive staff, and the public. We're waiting for our, we're also going to be bringing you a presentation. Here we go. I'm Leslie Richter, the recreation supervisor over the Community School Parks Program for Recreation and Parks. I'm here with my colleague, Carlos Luna, our program's senior recreation director. Currently, our CSP team is made up of three full-time staff. Juan Soto, our principal recreation supervisor, Carlos Luna and I, and 25 part-time staff. This morning, we will be presenting you a general manager's update on the Community School Parks program in the form of a slideshow presentation. So let's begin. The Community School Parks program is transforming Los Angeles Unified District playgrounds into safe, inclusive recreation spaces. Next slide. Here's an overview of our Community School Parks program, which we refer to as CSP for short. As our city's population continues to grow, accessible open spaces and parks are becoming increasingly scarce. Many neighborhoods lack nearby green spaces where residents can relax, connect with nature, or enjoy recreational activities within a 10-minute walk from home. Meanwhile, LAUSD remains one of the largest landowners in the city of Los Angeles, presenting a favorable opportunity to address this need. The City of Los Angeles Department of Recreation and Parks and LAUSD are collaborating to make school campuses available for public recreation activities during non-school hours on weekends. To date, we have 10 CSP sites open year-round on Saturdays and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. for passive and organized outdoor play for all age groups. We are closed on major holiday weekends and are dark during LAUSD's spring and winter break weekends. CSP is supported by the Mayor of Los Angeles, the LAUSD Superintendent and Board of Education, the LA City Council, Recreation and Parks, and the LA Parks Foundation. And I'd also like to add, we are supported by our school principals, community members, parents, and the staff. Next slide. Our purpose is to provide safe, walkable parks and provide active lifestyles in park-deficient communities. Our goals are to help create health and well-being, get more physically active, foster our collaboration between schools, local organizations, and stakeholders, strengthen community, and identify resources to help expand our program. Next slide. Our department's collaboration with LAUSD began in 2018, in which we piloted four elementary schools. Unfortunately, in 2020, the CSP program was suspended due to the COVID-19 pandemic. In late 2022, the CSP program was relaunched at three middle schools, Barack Obama Global Prep Academy, Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune Middle School, and Northridge Middle School. By 2024, our department and LAUSD celebrated the goal of our achieving 10 CSP city sites citywide. This year, 2025, our department and LAUSD and other partners continue to explore the sustainability to expand the CSP program and provide safe places for youth and families to play, exercise, and enjoy recreational activities within a 10-minute walk from their home. Next slide. Here is the list of our current CSP sites: Barack Obama Global Prep Academy, Camellia Avenue Elementary School, Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune Middle School, Garden Grove Elementary School, Harvard Elementary School, Leo Politi Elementary School, Northridge Middle School, Open Magnet Charter School, Pio Pico STEAM Middle School, and Ramona Elementary School. Next slide. The Play LA program was recently added to CSP, and we eagerly rolled out our free winter sports classes in January 2025, offering kickball classes and a wide world of sports class with great feedback and success. Our recent winter class attendance for Play LA classes for all 10 sites was 211, which surpassed our goal of 200. Our current spring class registration numbers for Play LA classes for all 10 sites are 161 and rising. Our goal is 300 registrants, and we are already halfway there in only 2 weeks of registration. We continue to offer Play LA for those community, passive play for those community members wanting to shoot basketballs, play handball, volleyball, or the like. We have an array of sports equipment for attendees to use. Next slide. We also offer free instructional art classes, jewelry making, arts and crafts, cultural activities such as Dia de los Muertos. Our recent winter class attendance for art classes served 72 participants, and our current spring class registration numbers for art classes are 12, but is climbing. Next slide, please. Besides our sports and arts activities, we also incorporated free workshops and special events to our offerings at the CSP sites. Last December, we added a traveling Santa who visited 6 of our CSP elementary school sites. We set up a step and repeat, and each family had an opportunity to take a photo with Santa. An added bonus was that our own Los Angeles Parks Foundation donated funds for us to purchase toys for giveaways. Needless to say, this was a big hit for each of those sites. This year, we reached out to another city department, community investment for families, and arranged a free bicycle and pedestrian safety class for several of our CSP sites. Free bike helmets were distributed to those families who were registered for the classes. We have several scheduled classes for the months of May, June, and July of this year. The spring will be offering a free spring egg hunts at 4 of our middle schools. We'll bring out our step and repeat for more picture taking, and of course, Mr. Bunny will be there to say hello to the kids. This past year, we've been busy collaborating at school events such as open houses, wellness resource fairs, back to school events, and book fairs. This is a great opportunity for our team to promote our program to students and family members. At these events, we usually set up a table and engage with the kids and families with a sports activity or a fun arts and crafts activity to showcase what they can expect in our program. Our CSP team will continue to expand structured programs based on available resources and partnerships as we see how they positively impact the communities we serve. Next slide. The CSP program can bridge the gap between our Los Angeles communities needing access to open spaces and parks. In addition to relaxing with nature and enjoying recreational activities, the CSP program provides several community benefits. For health, increasing physical activity and combating childhood obesity. Accessibility, creating accessible parks within a 10-minute walk of one's home. Community building, connecting residents through community engagement. Educational support, improving school attendance. And environmental benefits, creating shared green spaces for communities to enjoy year round. So this concludes our update, and we thank you for allowing us to present to you today. Are there any questions?
Any questions? Great, thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay,
good. And thanks to, I think I saw the Recreation, the Parks Foundation Executive Director here. Just a thank you for all of the work and support. I know they just recently released a report to help accelerate, expansion of the community school parks. I just wanted to give acknowledgement to the Parks Foundation. And Tony, thank you.
Thank you, Leslie and Carlos. And that concludes our updates.
Thank you. And I think we have someone representing Council District 15 that wanted to say some remarks before we get to public comment. Hi, welcome. Well, you should say welcome to us because we're in your district.
Welcome. Just wanted to briefly introduce myself. Unfortunately, the councilman couldn't make it today, so he sends his regards. My name is Rudy Martinez. I'm the new field deputy for the Harbor Gateway. Most of my job is working hand in hand with Parks and Rec, PD, all city departments to make sure we address issues as quickly as possible. I'm kind of like the middleman between council and all city departments. So anything y'all need, please feel free to reach out to me, especially for anything in the gateway. In my previous role, I worked as a caseworker for the community of Wilmington. And then before that, I worked for Congresswoman Barragan. Do you guys have any questions?
Any questions?
No, thanks for having me.
No, but let the record show for Councilmember McCosker that when we were last in CD 11, Councilmember Lee showed up. So let him know that we're going to hold that against him.
Thank you. I'm going to leave my cards right at the table over there. So if you guys need anything, feel free to reach out. Thank you so much. Right,
thank you. And if you're listening, Councilmember McCosker, I was just kidding. With that, before we move on to, we've done general manager, so now we're at public comment. Takesha, can you conduct public comment?
Will do, Madam President. I will call the first three constituents to come up to the podium to make a public comment. You will be granted a maximum of 2 minutes. And if you have further comments, you may send them to our WRAP inbox at wrap.commissioners@lacity.org. Rosanna Flores, Maggie Alvera, and Atul Ray, I believe.
My name is Maggie Olvera, and I'm representing the seniors here at the Harbor Gateway. After COVID, we had a very hard time opening any kind of program for our seniors. And now we find that our lunch program might be in danger of shutting down. And I feel that we here that come to our seniors, we've been here more than 15 years coming. We play bingo. But I've been coming to this office here, and there hasn't been no one that can give me any kind of an answer why we do not have any kind of a program for our seniors, like from 10 to 12 o'clock, that we can have some kind of bingo, crafts, line dancing, tai chi, exercise. Because after COVID, I said a lot of our seniors had a lot of problems, and when they came back, a lot of them were in wheelchairs, and a lot of them were in walking with a walking cane. And I feel that we should have some kind of a program in this park, especially. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Rosanna Flores, and I am not only a lifetime person, family member that has grown up at this park, but I came in 1978 to be a volunteer with Rec and Parks in the preschool with Karen Fox, who used to be a former director here. And I went on to join City of LA Park and Recs in 1984, I believe, through the late 80s. And after that, I took over as a favorite of the senior program in 1996. And until a year and a half ago, I retired because of medical illness, and I'm a senior now. And I retired, but COVID did a really bad number on the seniors here. And I do agree, this is Maggie. She lives alone, and there are many of the seniors here who live alone. We used to have, like she said, we had 5 days a week. Besides the lunch program through the Wilmington Senior Center, they had line dancing, craft classes, and we did bingo for prizes. Well, being in a senior program helps longevity for life. It helps mentally for the seniors. And I just seen things. We lost a lot of seniors. And on Saturday, I went to a funeral, and the first thing the daughter said to me was, my dad, he ended up getting Alzheimer's. She said he missed the seniors so much. So we're asking if, once again, now that I'm retired and I want to be a member of the seniors here, that they have a program, you know, daily for them to come in, even for just 2 hours when the park, you know, nobody's using this multi-purpose room right here. and, you know, that you once again start the classes for the seniors, the exercise classes, the craft classes. And I do understand the food program's in jeopardy all over in the Harbor Gateway. After COVID, it was kind of, numbers went down. They lost their food service provider. I guess they shut down the building of the kitchen. But they still need to come here. They are taxpayers. They all live. They don't drive. They live within walking distance of here. And
thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Acto Ray, are you here?
Good morning. I'm here representing the Southern California Cricket Association. It's an agenda item that's for the LA Play LA program. I just want to briefly say that we're really thankful to the Parks and Recreation for the amount of work that they do to help the community have access to cricket in LA. And Woodley Park is the one of the finest facilities you have in the entire world. So hats off to them for what they do. And I'm here to thank them publicly and say that we are here as partners and we will do everything possible to have access to all the kids. And especially with the Play LA program, we will have thousands of kids playing cricket in all the parks. There are plenty of parks around in LA, and we would like to be partners. And we are, you know, we will do everything possible to provide access to these kids. And I thank you once again, the commission, for providing this opportunity for me to be here and say publicly how much we appreciate these people. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Madam President, I do not have any further requests for a general public comment.
Thank you. Before we consider board reports, may we hear from the public who wishes to make comments on board reports, specific board report items?
I will begin by taking public comments from constituents who are present today at our meeting. If you have further comments, you may send them to our RAP inbox at rap.commissioners@lacity.org. Tony Bodrovich, Kamal Azos, and Andrew Starples.
Good morning, commissioners. And I wanted to talk to you today about an item on the agenda, which is the Palisades Park Playground. We're very proud to say that some good people in Los Angeles, between the community, the business leaders and foundations have come together to help quickly to recover an area that I think is very important to the people of Palisades. I know that I got to meet a lot of people at Palisades through some meetings that Sonia put on, and the Park Advisory Committee is in a great place trying to recover. We worked hard across the city to bring programs, but this one is the first one up, and we just encourage you to consider it kindly. And I think by the first days of July, we should have a park back open and helping celebrate a community that's stressed but coming back. So that's my main comment. My secondary comment is I do, as the president noted, I'm very impressed with the community school parks program, only because equity, so that third of the Los Angeles residents have access to a park. I think it's the best program going in Los Angeles. I hope it can continue to expand. We're going to work on that fundraising side of it, but just a secondary comment. And with that, I have my team here today, and we're here to help whenever we can. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good morning, Board of Parks Commission, and to the general public. Kamal Aziz is my name again, and I've been up here several times to this board talking about cricket. I joined with Dr. Atul Rai in thanking the city and the Recreation and Parks for pushing the agenda item of 25-044 and getting some funding to start a pilot program for cricket. In this very room here where we're at, you can play cricket. Don't believe you need a park that's as big as a baseball field to play cricket. Kids can play in this room. That's where they play in cold countries. In these big rec room, it's a bat and ball sport. So I would like to ask the commission, the planning director there, Mr. Darrell Ford, he knows about cricket. He's a cricket player, I hope. Please allow more parks, allow more facilities, allow any empty warehouse you have to get the kids out to play this bat and ball sport. Even though we have this funds assigned for this project, but the help of Veronica Polanco over there. Thank you very much, Veronica. I've got to say that you can do it any place, make it happen. Just allow facilities for the sport of cricket. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good morning, Madam President, Honorable Commissioners. I'm Andrew Sterrels, I'm a lifelong Palisades resident, and I'm also chair of the Palisades Recreation Center Park Advisory Board. In my capacity as the chair of the Park Advisory Board, I want to extend thanks on behalf of the entire community for the philanthropic and municipal support that was deployed so quickly to provide Palisades, with a new playground, something the community has been asking for many years, and the need is even more acute now. On a personal note, I'd like to convey the plea of myself and many community members that our beloved park, the heart and soul of our community, be returned to being a park again. This is a community that, as you know, has suffered so much, and the project you're considering today anticipates a very tight timeline. To do that and to bring some healing to this community, I hope the board will help us to find other premises for DWP's important functions, but functions that aren't related to parks or recreation. Thank you.
Thank you. Madam President, we do not have any further requests for board report public comments.
Thank you, Takesha. Seeing no additional public comments on the board reports, with the consent of my commission, I'd like to take the following board reports on consent: 25037, 25308, 25309, 25040, 25041, and 25042. Do I have a motion to take these items on consent?
I would like to hear 040.
040, okay. So 37, 38, 39, 41, and 42. Do I have a motion to take these items on consent?
So move.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Takesha, I have a motion and a second to take these items on consent. Can you call for the vote, please?
Will do, Madam President. We have a motion and a second to take the following board reports on consent: 25-037, 25-038, 25-039, 25-041, and 25-042. Vice President Sanchez, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Tran, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Lloyd, how do you vote?
Aye.
President Simrell, how do you vote?
Aye.
And the motion carries.
Thank you. With that, we'll take the first item, 040.
It's been a while.
Welcome back.
Good morning. Board report 25040 is requesting that the board approve the allocation of $70,000 in supplemental Quimby fees for the playground fencing project at MacArthur Park, located in the Westlake community of CD1. So last July, board report 24-152 previously started the project and allocated $155,337.27 in Quimby fees for the proposed project. A little additional funding is now necessary to complete the project as conceptualized, and including this allocation of $70,000 in supplemental Quimby fees, the total amount of funding for the project will be $225,337.27. Construction is scheduled to be completed in August of this year. And I apologize, it's been a while since I presented. My name is Robert Eastland, Planning Maintenance Construction Branch.
Hi, Robert. Can you explain to us the purpose of the fencing?
Mr. Ford will be here shortly.
Good morning, everybody. Daryl Ford, the superintendent of Planning Recreation Parks. So the fencing at MacArthur Park, just maybe I'll back up a little bit more. This is a very new playground that is at the southwest corner of MacArthur Park. The department recently built, suffered some vandalism, but it's back in action. So the long story short is that after discussions with the council office, the idea was to add a small 4-foot fence around both the playground and the separate swing set that's there. So MacArthur Park is currently unfenced, but the idea was to just do a low fence around the playground and the swings to secure that. So we work with the council office to put that project together.
I guess my question is, since it's 4 feet, thank you for providing that. Is that more for keeping kids in and being able to lock it at night? Or is this more for keeping other elements of the park out?
A 4-foot fence serves to keep children in. Okay. A 4-foot fence doesn't serve to protect the infrastructure. It doesn't serve to keep anybody else out. A 4-foot fence is designed to serve to help keep children in. I think as all of us who have children know, they will move really quickly and really fast. But the idea of the 4-foot fence is to help keep them contained there. But it's a fence around the seating area as well. So the parents are able to sit inside. It's very comfortable, but it's mainly designed to help keep the children inside the playground area.
And after discussions with CD1, was there any thought to possibly redesign the fence for other purposes?
No, the only conversations with CD1 that had to do with the design of the fence are actually the purpose of the board report today, which was originally the staff was looking at several options, including an Omega fence. But after discussions, we did the project as well to have a tubular steel fence. So my answer is just aesthetically, there was conversations, but that's the only purpose of the fence. It's a small 4-foot fence just to keep the children inside the playground.
Okay.
Commissioner, if I could add to that, Kathy Santa-Dominga, Planning, Maintenance, and Construction. There is overall a conversation with the department along with other departments in terms of the overall safety surrounding MacArthur Park. So there's various conversations, various ideas. Fencing for the park at a larger scale has been discussed, but I don't believe a decision has been made.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to our next board report, 43043. They're closer to me. Green?
I guess somebody pressed button.
Yeah, just make sure it's towards your mouth. We couldn't.
Okay. Melissa Bettis, Partnership Section. Board Report 25-043 requests the board's approval of a proposed park improvement project at Palisades Recreation Center consisting of installation of both a preschool playground and a universally accessible playground that will be installed adjacent to each other in the same area where the current Palisades playground has been located for the past 35 years. The two new playgrounds will feature a variety of amenities, including play structures made to look like fire trucks, police motorcycle spring riders, accessible swings, shade structures, and accessible seating areas, all installed on top of rubber flooring. The estimated completion date of this project is July 1st, 2025, in order to open to the public on July 4th. But the final scope of work and cost estimates are not yet complete, pending further coordination with RAP. With the board's approval today, the project will be authorized to move forward, subject to appropriate permits being in place where applicable. The project has been made possible through various donations amounting to $1.33 million received by the Los Angeles Parks Foundation from FireAid, Game Time, and Bank of California. FireAid, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide monetary support to the communities affected by the Palisades and Eaton fires as part of the FireAid Symbols of Hope initiative, donated $1 million from the funds raised through both donations and ticket sales from the FireAid benefit concert held on January 30th, 2025. It should be noted that the Annenberg Foundation played an integral role in the production of the concert and management of the funds raised. Game Time, a RAP-approved vendor for play and recreation equipment, made an in-kind donation of play equipment valued at approximately $300,000. Bank of California made a monetary contribution towards the project in the amount of $30,000. The Los Angeles Parks Foundation will act as the project manager and will contract directly with Game Time as the general contractors, which shall include any subcontractors and or vendors necessary to bring the project to fruition. Additionally, we are requesting board approval of a 60-inch by 24-inch sign recognizing the contributions of the donors through language included in this report. This sign conforms to city sign policies and will be placed at a RAP-approved location within the boundaries of the improvements. On behalf of the Department of Recreation and Parks, I would like to thank the Los Angeles Parks Foundation for their coordination and implementation of this project, along with RAP's appreciation for the donations from FireAid, Game Time, and Bank of California. This concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a general comment and then a question on the project, but just a general comment is to thank everyone involved. I mean, this is exemplar of the mayor's priorities of locking arms to recover from this devastating wildfire as quickly as possible. And as was mentioned with a public comment, Palisades Park is really a heart of the community, the number of basketball programs, the number of the kids that are there, the tennis center. So I just wanted to acknowledge Annenberg Foundation, Fire Aid, Game Time, the Parks Foundation, and our staff for being able to respond so quickly to this donation. And also an advance thank you for really accelerating to get this playground up and running before July 4th. So just a thanks to everyone for moving so quickly to restore hope and to bring a little bit more joy to the residents of the Palisades community. My question is just with regard to the construction, that includes the removal and replacement of the sand as well.
It actually will not have sand. It will have rubber flooring.
So. Okay. So even better. Okay. That was my question. Any other questions from the commissioners? Well, thank you so much. Oh, yes.
No, I was just going to say, given the accelerated timeline, maybe we can have an update in May just to make sure that we're on track.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, you just, Commissioner Lloyd, you just had me a question, and maybe not for you, but maybe for Kathy. I know the rec center, the new rec center, had some damage as well as the tennis facility. Do we have any updates in terms of the progress on restoring those two facilities?
Kathy Santanwingo with Planning, Maintenance, and Construction. There's actually three structures that were damaged on site. The newer recreation center, the tennis center, as well as the maintenance support building. The tennis center, the support maintenance building are 100% lost. So we're currently working with EMD, Department of EMD, with regards to working with EPA and the Army Corps for complete removal of those two areas. With respect to the main building, we have a complete evaluation from Bureau of Engineering. Their report has a recommendation that if a decision point is made to restore the building to its pre-fire condition, there's a path forward for that, and they had provided some estimates and possible process for that. That would be working with FEMA. However, at this point, there's a decision point that needs to be made from the city family and our officials on whether or not to restore the building, because there is conversation of potential donors for that. So the decision point as to whether or not to construct a bigger and better facility, a reimagined facility, or to work with restoring the damaged building. There are portions of the building that is still salvageable. So that's a decision point that's yet to be made at this point.
Okay, thank you for that. Thank you. And our last board item is 044. Veronica, welcome.
Morning. I'm Veronica Polanco, Chief Innovation Officer for Play LA, and we are here for Board Report 25-004 with the request to approve the Department of Recreation and Parks Fiscal Year 25-26 Project Plan between the City of LA and the LA 28 Organizing Committee for the 28 Olympic and Paralympic Games within the City Youth Sports Program Partnership. We traditionally just provide a very detailed Excel sheet and a lot of data. So we actually prepared a presentation to kind of make it easier to kind of do the overview of what we're requesting for this fiscal year. Next slide. As you know, Play LA is able to provide high quality, affordable youth sports programming throughout Los Angeles, thanks to the partnership with LA 28. Next slide. We do have the continual impact of having 90 recreational centers. We are offering 14 adaptive sports. We are looking for this fiscal year to support, continuing supporting the CSP program with the sports programming for 5 additional schools. And our estimated enrollment is 229,540 enrollments this upcoming year. We also offer over 55 sports programs, and we have 37 pre-qualified schools. Next slide. This is just a visual representation. The blue bar within the graph represents what we're requesting for the 25-26 year. The green is what we requested last year, and the orange is what we have spent to date for the 24-25 fiscal year. And the total would be, again, $33,123,226. Next slide. This is ending with the fiscal year 23-24, the enrollment graph. As you can see, we obviously took a dip during COVID, but we have gradually continued to increase our enrollments in a steady pace. Next slide. For recreation, we are requesting $23,075,076. Next slide. I went ahead, and I think sometimes we talk about the sports without having the full grasp of what we're offering. So we listed here are all the sports we offer. The ones with the little Olympic gold medal are official Olympic sports within the 2024 games. And so it's a total of 20 Olympic sports that we currently have within recreation. Part of the fiscal year project plan is having pilot sites. So we really sat down to figure out what would be most sustainable post games. And we narrowed it down to 3 pilot programs for this next year. The first being cricket. There's a lot of interest for it. We do have fields, but it's also a very popular sport worldwide. And we think that there just needs to be some education on the initial novice level to really grow the sport within LA. There's a lot of community interest with the organization supporting us, including Southern California Cricket Association, is also helping us recruit coaches, in particular female coaches, so we can kind of have that representation as well. The second one is pickleball. It's a very popular sport. We just redid some of our courts. And it's also one of the sports that's inclusive to adaptive participants and able-bodied participants to play together. The rules just vary per participant. And so we want to make sure we're using are the venues we already have and the facilities and not put an extra burden on cost. And then the last one is a basketball development program. This is the next tier. It's a competitive level team that would be for both boys and girls where they can compete in external leagues and really show what the talent that the LA Recreation and Parks Department has. For the adaptive program, we're requesting $995,000 and And there's a little bit of a change with that. Like with the detailed report, you'll see that we are looking to increase certifications, not just for our adaptive sports, but for our field staff in general, both trainings and certifications to ensure that we're able to carry on as many sports as we can post the games to really make sure we're building that framework now and have that that pipeline to carry the sports without depending on third-party contractors. So it's a balancing act, and we really want to make sure we're maximizing every part of the resources we have been given. For aquatics, I won't go too into it because thanks to Gary, he did a whole little presentation. But I do just want to share that there are like 5 Olympic sports that they're doing it. And same thing, like we're very excited and eager to keep building that competitive level out for the department. Next slide. So for the signature sports, this is going into that competitive level that we're calling LA City United. So swim team, water polo team, soccer, basketball, and surf are on the way. Within the budget, the basketball development team is actually part of the pilot programs. So it's not under the signature budget, but I just wanted you to know where the category it would fall into within our divisions. Thanks to Leslie and Carlos, CSP, we did a nice overview of it. Like I said, we'll continue to support as much as we can with this program. Next slide. I just did a map of where we're looking at to increase the sites and where they're currently established. The next slide is around PlaySafe LA.
It's a standardized cost that it's every year. We're currently in phase four. This year, we are launching the online module. By June, every field staff member would be able to do the training online. It would be both in English and Spanish, as well as supplemental in-person training, just to the nature of the training and topics that are covered. The playbook is completed, and so we're looking to align with all our partners of how we advertise the good work that we're doing around youth abuse prevention. It's such a subject, but it's also a very important one. Currently, we have the most robust program within the city, and we're talking to the departments to see how we can help them, support them, increase like their policies and learn from like what we've been doing. And then in terms of the marketing, we're very excited. We finally have our marketing firm. So we're moving forward with those projects. The biggest goal for the marketing project is one, to recruit outside of the parks. Secondly, is to increase the story that we're telling. There is an opportunity to increase association with us and the games. Many people don't know that we are one of the legacy programs already happening in real time. So we're trying to make sure we have a unified voice and branding around that as well. And that's about it. Oh, for the coaches, it goes back to the certification part. We are really increasing training certification opportunities for sports specific as well as general youth development. And so with that, we are also working in conjunction with our partnership with Nike in the Coach LA program and working with national governing bodies to provide certifications, trainings, and also like playbooks of like how you should teach this sport for each of the sports we currently offer. And the last slide is just a summary of the breakdown of the budget.
Thank you, Veronica. Just a comment of congratulations. I know we had an opportunity to have a pre-conversation about this when the International Olympic Committee team, legacy team, was here. And I think we're edging up to 885,000 young people who have benefited from the program, and about 300,000 of new young people that have been brought to the program. But I just want to acknowledge for the public that the resources that have come in through the 28 organizing committee have really allowed the department to innovate. And so just making note of the CSP program, leveraging these funds to expand park access within a 10-minute walking of many neighborhoods through the 10 school sites and being able to allocate budgets. But also, the LA Soccer United is really being able to innovate in terms of where are there barriers for young kids who have talent to be able to develop that talent, and expanding that to the swim program with water polo and a basketball program. You know, again, these dollars have allowed the staff to be flexible, to try new things. And then lastly, with regard to, and I'm having a senior moment now because I've just forgot what the last point was. The last point is just acknowledging the partnerships with the national governing bodies. I think that that's seems to be, to me, my mind, unique in terms of the number of national governing bodies that are coming in to support programming, to support coaching education. And so just an overall kudos to you and the team for really deepening the impact with regards to the Play LA program, particularly as we're starting to get closer to the games coming back to Los Angeles. And then the last point is just to acknowledge, and I think Mayor Garcetti, when he was announcing this program, when it was launched, said that his vision was to be able to see a young person who came through the Play LA program competing in LA 28. And we had the LA 84 Foundation occasion to have Arel Middleton speaking in our girls panel for Women's History Month. And Arel, for those who don't remember, is a silver medalist in the Paralympic Games in the shot put, and she came through the Play LA program. And so I think the impact that the program is having leading up to the Olympic Games is really inspiring and heartwarming. So thank you for you and your team's work on this program in particular.
Thank you.
With those comments, any questions from the commissioners? Thank you. Oh, round of applause for Veronica. Okay, with that, we and with consent, could we have could I have a motion to approve board item 040, 043, and 044?
So moved.
I have a second.
Second.
Takesha, we have a motion and a second. Can you call for the vote?
Will do, Madam President. We have a motion and a second to approve the following board reports, 25-040, 25-043, with the added attachment one, 25-044. Vice President Sanchez, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Lloyd, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Tran, how do you vote?
Aye.
President Cimarron, how do you vote?
Aye.
And the motion carries.
Thank you. Takesha, do we have any neighborhood council comments?
We did not receive any such requests, Madam President.
Do any of the task force chairs have verbal reports from their last meeting? No. Are there any requests or comments from the commissioners on future agenda items or report backs within the board's jurisdiction?
I have a couple. Given the budget crisis that we are likely going to see in the next year and next few years, I'd love an update on kind of our planning for the next budget cycle and where we're at with the mayor's office and other city leadership. And then also, I would like an update on MacArthur Park, understanding that we have ongoing conversations with other city departments and city staff. But I'm specifically would like to get a better understanding of our own trash and graffiti removal within the park and other kind of back to basic stuff that we do to maintain the quality of the facilities.
Brenda, just on the planning for the budget cycle, I understand we're in process, but the update just from Matt Zodio's office just dropped yesterday. What's a reasonable time frame to report back to the commissioner on that item? Commission on that item?
I think Noel might have a better idea on what that would look like.
Good morning, Commissioners. Noel Williams, CFO, Rec and Parks. As many people know, the mayor's actual proposed budget is due April 20th, which may go the 19th or the 21st. And given the amount of publicity that was stated just within the last couple of days, I expect that RAP will be a partner in reducing and helping the mayor balance the budget for the city. But our actual date that we get, what those cuts will be, as per approved by the CAO, working the CAO, and approved by the mayor, is April the 20th. So
what I'm looking for is before that, because yeah, we're going to have to make some cuts. And so I think I would love a better understanding of what our thinking is as a department and what recommendations we want to do before we get to that point. And it's kind of set in stone.
I will tell you, based upon, you know, 37 years at the city, it's possible the department might not know till April 19th, because a large city like this is constantly in motion.
Sure. So perhaps just the report back at our next meeting, April 3rd, right, just given the commissioner's concern in terms of what
the problem could be.
Exactly. Yes. And then how we're responding
that
to
that
it.
That we can do.
Perfect.
That's all I'm looking for. Thank
Perfect.
You.
Yeah. Thank you. And then I'd like a report back at our next meeting as well on Pacific Palisades. So just a more detailed update on the status of the rec center, the tennis center. There was a third facility that I forgot which it was, and the maintenance. And then I'd also like just an update on where we are with the DWP Service Center and how, and I had occasion to take a tour of Palisades, and it is smack dab in the middle of where the park is. And so if there's, you know, opportunity to rethink the location of that center to allow for the residents who are in Palisades to utilize the park once we're able to open it. So if we can ever report back on that, I'd appreciate it. Anything else? All right, seeing none, our next meeting is scheduled for Thursday, April 3rd, 2025 at 9 a.m. And we'll be at Stoner Recreation Center at 1835 Stoner Avenue, Los Angeles 90025. This meeting is now adjourned. Thank you. Have a great day.